Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Renaissance Global Limited's earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anup Pujari from CDR India. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Renaissance Global's Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Sumit Shah, Chairman and Global CEO, and Mr. Hitesh Shah, Managing Director of the company. We would like to begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we'll have the forum open for an interactive question and answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Sumit to make his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Renaissance Global, I extend a warm welcome and thank you all for joining us on our earnings conference call for the quarter ended 30th June 2023. I will initiate the call by taking you through a brief overview of the company's operational and business highlights for the period under review. Post that, Hitesh will give you a rundown of our financial performance, following which we will open the forum to the question and answer session. Over the last few quarters, our financial performance has been impacted by challenging market conditions, mainly characterized by subdued demand. Despite these challenges, our quarterly consolidated EBITDA margin grew quarter on quarter and year on year, thanks to some strong contribution from our direct-to-consumer branded segment. During the quarter, our total income stood at 476 crores, a decrease of 17%, while our EBITDA margin came in at 7.7% compared to 7.6% in Q4 FY23 and 7.3% in Q1 FY23. We believe our performance has been resilient with positive contribution from our core branded jewelry business. While the economic landscape has posed challenges, our direct-to-consumer branded segment has not only held our financial performance steady, but we believe will also pave way for future growth. The segment has delivered an impressive 69% compounded annual growth over the last 3 years, and we project its revenue to reach 310 crores in FY24. With such promising results, we are excited about its potential and remain positive on increasing its share of revenue to 50% in the next 2 to 3 years. In our key development, we are pleased to announce the appointment of Mr. Biju Kurian as independent director, adding valuable expertise to our board. Mr. Kurian brings with him an impressive professional background, including 35 years of experience in the Indian retail industry and various leadership roles across several prominent organizations. As chairman of the Retailers Association of India and a member of the esteemed World Retail Congress Advisory Board, he's been instrumental in shaping the future of the retail industry. His exceptional branding skills and broad experience promise to be an invaluable asset to our corporate strategy and direct-to-consumer business vertical, aligning perfectly with Renaissance Global's goal on focusing on strengthening governance practices and driving growth and success. To conclude, despite temporary setbacks in the global landscape, we see bright prospects in the medium to long-term horizon. With positive economic data coming from the US and with some signs of respite on the inflation front without significantly killing demand, we believe that the demand sentiment should improve and show positive signs towards holiday season for FY24. We are confident in our ability to capitalize on growth prospects in the global branded jewelry sector with a strong focus on expanding our direct-to-consumer business, a strategy we firmly believe will create substantial values for all stakeholders in the foreseeable future. On this note, I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Hitesh to discuss our financial performance during the quarter. Over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Sumit. Good afternoon, everyone. We registered a stable performance primarily on the back of steady contribution from direct-to-consumer business in Q4 of FY24. Our total income stood at Rs. 476 crores, compared to rupees 575 crores in Q1 of FY23, declining by 17%. Our branded jewelry sales stood at rupees 132 crores, of which our B2B segment came in at rupees 77 crores, and our direct-to-consumer business posted revenues of rupees 55 crores. This is as compared to Q1 of FY23 revenues of 41 crores, growing 36% year over year. Our annual revenue run rate for the direct-to-consumer business, based on Q1 of FY24 sales, is estimated at rupees 310 crores, compared to actual FY23 revenues of rupees 239 crores. During the quarter, revenue share of studded jewelry stood at 85%. Of the total studded jewelry revenues, branded jewelry contributed 33% in Q1 of FY24. Of the branded sales, B2B segment contributed 58%, while direct-to-consumer contributed 42%. I would like to highlight that the revenues from a plain gold segment came in at rupees 70 crores in Q1 of FY24 versus rupees 58 crores in Q1 of FY23, adding positively to our overall performance during the period. On the profitability front, EBITDA stood at rupees 36.7 crores in Q1 FY24. Despite the continued challenging macro environment, we managed to deliver an EBITDA margin of 7.7% in the current quarter versus 7.3% in Q1 of FY23 and 7.6% in Q4 of FY23. During the quarter, profit after tax before discontinued operations stood at rupees 14.2 crores versus rupees 24.2 crores in the corresponding period last year. This was primarily on account of higher interest costs and higher tax expenses as compared to Q1 of last year, which we expect to normalize over the course of the year. Lastly, in terms of our balance sheet, our net debt to equity ratio stands healthy at 0.22 as of June 24. Our total net debt stands at rupees 233 crores, and our cash and bank balances and current investments stand at a healthy rupees 235 crores. To conclude, we have reported a steady and resilient all-round performance during the quarter ended June 2023. As we look ahead, our growth initiatives will help support accelerated growth in the medium to long term. On that note, I would now request the moderator to open the forum for any questions or suggestions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may please press star and 1. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and 1. First question is from the line of Ashish Shah from Business Nudge. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sumit. Sumit, a few things. How's the outlook looking for the four segments for the rest of the year? If you can talk a little bit about each of them.
Sure. I think that what we are seeing is inflation moderating in the U.S. And, we did have a high base effect in quarter four and quarter one. We do see the year-over-year numbers improving, and we are seeing some stabilization in demand on the B2B segment. The branded segment, both the B2B as well as D2C segment, are also seeing sort of normalization in terms of sales. The D2C, as you've noted, has been relatively strong, and we continue to see momentum there. The gold division, I think again, because it's a Middle East focused business, has had a good quarter, and I think we continue to see strong demand there. So I think that, during the course of this year, we are seeing some stabilization of demand, and I think the year-over-year numbers will start to look better because of base effect.
And too early to call, or do you think that the B2B business has bottomed out in terms of growth?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit early to say, but definitely the worst is behind us in terms of the year-over-year declines due to the high base effect. I think that we are seeing encouraging signs in terms of customer orders for the holiday season. So I think that the bottoming out seems like it's happening now, and we should start to see growth, if not in the next quarter, the quarter after that.
Sure, and just a little color of this target that we have in terms of 50% share from the branded business. Like, how is that shaping up as you look, like, let's say 2-3 years out?
Yeah. So I think currently about a third of our studded business is coming from the branded segment, and I think that we're definitely on course to get to 50% in the next 2-3 years. As direct to consumer business is growing well, and we are very encouraged with the performance of Iraswa as well, and we've got plans to open 2 new stores in the coming quarters for Iraswa as well. So, with the performance of the e-commerce business in the U.S. as well as Iraswa going forward, I think we're we've continuously increased the share of the branded space from the single digits to 33% today, and I think looking at getting to 50% within the next 2-3 years.
Right. And the other thing on margins, you've seen some improvement this quarter. Again, on margins, you think they've bottomed out? We are headed higher, maybe let's say 2 years out as well?
Yeah, so I think, on the margins have really been challenged on the customer brands front because of deleverage. I think we've seen customers sort of cut back on inventory. Whereas our sales to the retailers have declined significantly, the retail sales haven't declined to that extent.
Right.
So, as sales momentum at our end picks up, we should see some normalization in margins, because a lot of the drop in margins is on the customer brand segment, which he's kind of suffering from the deleverage effect. I think that, on the branded side, the margins are at 13-14%. We expect them to improve, but I think the main challenge has been on the customer brand segment, which should improve as sales recover.
And you see the D2C margins at least taking off this year as well?
Yeah, I think they've improved this year, and, I think they'll continue to improve over the coming quarters.
Okay. Just last couple of questions, kind of related. The interest cost obviously has gone up this quarter, even last quarter. So any thoughts on capital allocation for the year ahead?
Yeah, so I think you'll see us, repay down debt meaningfully. I think we've, continued to kind of pay down debt. We've reduced debt year over year by about 80 or 90 crores, and we'll continue to pay down debt as the year goes along, with interest costs where they are. I think that it makes sense to pay down debt and reduce debt meaningfully. I think in the past 12 months, we've had some capital expenditure in terms of setting up our office in the U.S., which was 40 to 50 crore investment, and we had some notes payable from our acquisition, which we've paid out as well. So, we've used the free cash flow from operations, which are approximately 120 crores in the last 12 months and 160 crores for the year ended 31st March FY23 for a combination of capital expenditure and paying down debt. And I think that as we generate cash flows going forward, we plan to reduce debt meaningfully going forward as well.
Okay, that's it, Sumit, from my side. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Anyone who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Drashti Shah from Blue Lotus Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
Drashti, you're sounding distant. Can I request you to come closer to the mic?
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes. If you're on a speaker, can you please use the handset, ma'am?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand the performance of Eraswa, especially when we have opened two new outlets in Hyderabad and Ahmedabad also. So how has the performance of Eraswa outlets been in India?
Yeah. So, you know, I think in the last 12 months, we've opened two stores, one in Ahmedabad and one in Hyderabad. And, the performance... Ahmedabad has been open for about a year now, and it's achieved very healthy levels of unit economics and store level profitability. And Hyderabad store is only 3 months old and is also sort of profitable at store level. We plan to open two more stores in the next 6 months, and I would say that broadly on an average, each store is at a run rate of about 10 crores a store on an annual basis. And, based on the margins in diamond jewelry, we're optimistic about the performance of the stores, because at this level, the return ratios are quite healthy. So we plan to now increase the rate of store opening for Eraswa, and are quite hopeful that, over the next 3 to 4 years, Eraswa will become a meaningful part of the overall business.
So even in the Mumbai outlets and the Hyderabad and the Ahmedabad, all the outlets are doing on an average 10 crores per month annually. Sorry.
Yeah. So the Mumbai outlet is a little bit lower than that. We sort of the newly opened stores, Ahmedabad and Hyderabad, are at that run rate, and we plan to open two more stores in Mumbai in the next in the next 6 months or so. So we'll have more updates for you over the coming quarters as to how they're performing. But the Hyderabad and Ahmedabad stores are at the level that I indicated.
And what kind of product category do we have in Eraswa and all the outlets? Like, have we customized as per the location, or considering India as a region, or is it standard as per your other branded and your...
No, it's absolutely completely different product, completely tailor-made for the Indian market, because, what we sell in Western markets is not at all compatible to what would be sold here. So it's been customized for the location. We have a CEO who runs a business who's had, long-standing experience in the Indian retail jewelry industry. And, obviously, with Mr. Biju Kurian being on the board, it lends a lot of, expertise to us in terms of product and product market fit. So it's obviously tailor-made to the Indian market, with average price point of about 2 lakh rupees, which is much higher than what we sell in international markets. And, we've had a couple of years now since stores have reopened to refine our product. And, we're very encouraged by the customer acceptance of the product and the product that we change is primarily diamond jewelry. I mean, we don't sell gold jewelry, which is why the revenue per store is lower than retailers who'd be selling gold jewelry as well.
Okay. And have you have the stores have you broken even? I mean break even of all the stores, or are we still yet to?
Yeah, all the stores are profitable at store level. All of them are profitable.
Even the Mumbai stores.
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Akash Samir Javeri from PIA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question is regarding the lab-grown diamond segment. You know, how do you see the demand and outlook for lab-grown diamonds, you know, going forward in the next, say, 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, sure. So I think that, you know, the consumer internationally has really accepted lab-grown diamonds as sort of, you know, an accepted product for especially in engagement rings and solitaire jewelry, as you know, the price difference between natural diamonds and lab-grown diamonds in larger stones is pretty significant. You know, I've read reports where you know, anywhere from 20% to 30% of engagement rings sold now are with lab-grown diamonds. So you know, there's been a significant increase in the acceptance of lab-grown diamonds, and I think that lab-grown diamonds over time will continue to increase in penetration, and you know, the percentage share of lab-grown diamonds should continue to go up over the next few years.
Sure, thank you so much. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one to ask a question. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As there are no further questions from the participants, I will now hand the conference back to the management for their closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the quarterly conference call. We look forward to seeing you for the Q2 results. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Renaissance Global Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.